everybody. Good morning, good morning. I hope you're all right. Welcome, everybody. I don't think there's any new faces, but if you're new, you're very welcome. And if you're not, you're also very welcome. Let's have a pray, shall we? Father God, we take this space and time this morning to come to you, to worship you, to spend time in your presence, focused on you, removing our distractions. Lord, help us to spend this time fully immersing ourselves in your word, opening ourselves up to your spirit, and learning what you have for us next. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
As the body of Christ assembled together to lift our eyes to see you, Lord. Lord, there may be things that we say and that we do that we may not be proud of, Lord. Those things that would be counted as sin. And it's not seeing what is worse than another. Sin is sin. It's what it is. And Lord, in our humanness, in our often failures in life, Lord, we just seek you this day afresh, this Sabbath day. As we gather before you. And Lord, in a moment within ourselves, in communing with you personally, we may just lift those things to you that we seek your forgiveness for. Because how else can we come to you in a right way, in a right mind, in a right heart, if we just carry on doing the things that we want to do? Lord, that's dishonouring to you, and it's dishonouring to one another. And so, Father God, we just confess these things that maybe hinder us, that maybe we're caught in a snare, that maybe things that are perpetually continuing that we just don't seem to be able to shake off. And yet, Lord, in our prayer of confession to you, not only would we confess those things, but, Lord, that we would seek you and ask you by your name, and by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of our testimony, that we would overcome that. And in doing so, Lord, we pray that we would stop doing those things that are not right, whether it's in word or in deed. Lord, we just lift them to you now. Lord, hear our prayers. Lord, in this time of confession, we ask that you would graciously hear our prayers, Lord. That we would know that we are able to hear from you, Lord. Speak into our lives in whatever way we would understand and be left in no doubt. That we encounter with you, that we hear you, Lord. That you will put a change in our life. That you would bring about new life. Lord, we sang a moment ago of where we lay down our life. But there is one greater, as we said the other week, and as we know through your word and through his actions, Christ as King, who reigns supremely, had all power and all authority on heaven and earth to lay his life down, only in order to be able to pick it up again. And it's because of that action. It's because he so willingly went to the cross and laid down his life. And 3 days later, by the awesome power of the resurrection, was raised to life again and forevermore, that we are able to stand here and be forgiven. For his blood poured out, for that ultimate sacrifice. And so, Father God, may we be clothed in your righteousness. May we be standing, brothers and sisters, sons and daughters, heirs and graces to the eternal riches that will flow so freely. Lord, may your word set us free. May it capture us. And may we be able to go, know that we are forgiven, ransomed, healed, restored, and, as we say, forgiven. Lord, we love you. We bless you. May you reign forevermore. Amen. As we take this offering, as you will know, as the email came round and other communication, that this offering will be taken for those that have been affected locally by the fires during this last week. We also have a few items that have been collected. We'll take this and we will distribute it to a couple of families that have been known to us to help them in this desperate time. Some people ask, what can we do? Well, first and foremost is we can pray. We always pray and we should pray fervently. But maybe that these gifts that God will bless upon us, we in turn will be able to bless them through the difficult times that they face. So we take this offering up for those this morning. Let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks for the gifts that have been received. We give you thanks that we have been able to give. And Lord, we give to those that are in great need. Lord, I just pray that in their darkest times, that not only these families that are known to us, but Lord, the many others, even those in London, Lord, certainly within our home country of the UK that has experienced these unprecedented scenes of recent times. Yes, Lord, we know that it goes on around the world, often on a regular basis, Lord, in the hotter parts of the country and the world. But Father, we just pour out our hearts to you. We pray for those families, not only known to us, but unknown to us, Lord, that are going through these devastating times. And Lord, we just ask that you would guide us to be able to help deliver these gifts that not only would enable them to bring some comfort in restoring some items that are lost, Lord. Often we can never replace sometimes lost items, Lord, but we're just so thankful that lives haven't been lost. Material things, clothes and what have you, can be replaced. Pictures, maybe not so, but Lord, we have those memories and we thank you for that. But Lord, would you just use these gifts that would go a long way to help these people, not only replacing stuff, Lord, but know that you are there for them, that you love them, that you care for them, and that no matter what they're going through, there's always hope. And hope has a name, Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we offer this to you now. We thank you. Holy Spirit, guide us. Amen. Notices, there aren't any, because there's not really a lot going on. Maybe other to say, as you know, in August, we're looking at a church barbecue. Again, details will come out with that later and other things. There'll be the newsletter next week with a few updates and things. But throughout the month of August, it's good that often we, with the groups and the activities and the busyness of life, that we take rest, each of us that lead those groups and those that attend. And so throughout August, it's a quieter month. But other than just to say, things will continue as normal. Of course, Sundays and the groups will and the activities will restart in September. But again, there'll be more news out about that in the newsletter in the coming weeks. It's great if you've got your Bibles, and do open your Bibles. You'll need to see it because we're all reading. Psalm 23, page 458. As you know, we're looking at these particular psalms. Today is the great shepherd who lives for his sheep and cares for his people. Psalm 23. So we are reading together, all of us together, because it's good to read God's word. But it's important, this particular psalm, because as we read it, may it be a prayer of all of us corporately together speaking this. So Mark, the words are also up on the screen as well. If you could forward it as we speak, please. So we start. Verse 1, together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Father God, as we come to look at your word, would you just open our hearts, our minds and our ears just to receive what it is that you're wanting to say to us through this today. What does it mean for us, Lord, as David wrote it so many years ago, what was happening then to maybe what is happening now? Lord, we know this psalm. We know it so well. But Lord, how does that speak into our lives today? Would you speak, Lord, by your Holy Spirit? Would you guide us? Would you help us? In your name we pray. Amen. Just as we get into this, we had the Mahons last week from Peru, although they came down from Barnsley, but they are ministering and being missionaries out in Peru. Michelle got in touch during the week and she just said thanks for blessing them and enriching their lives. And I went back and said, well, the same to you, because you certainly blessed and enriched us in your time with us, certainly through your word. And so we continue, we pray for them as they go on and soon go back to Peru. He spoke of Psalm 121 last week, Dave Mahon, and where it says, I lift my eyes to the hill, to where my help comes from. It comes from the creator of heaven and earth, the maker. And this passage, again, quite made popular, I guess popular sometimes in modern day culture, where the Vicar of Dibley, if you used to watch that, the theme tune was, the Lord was my shepherd from this psalm, and many other ways that it's used. But who'd have thought that this passage and the one before was speaking to lives in such a deep way? Maybe you've been through situations yourself where these words have just been washed over you, and where it's brought you comfort when you go through deepest, darkest times, shall we say, through the trials and tribulations. Well, it was certainly something that enriched my life this week. Last week, I was having a few chest pains and didn't want to ignore it. It's not about bravado or bravery or anything like that. So I went to the doctors on Monday, managed to get in. When I rang up, I thought, if I could get an appointment this year or this century, it would be great. Told them what was going on. They said, yep, 3:40 today, get down. So I drove down there, rightly or wrongly, I drove down, sat with the doctor all of a few minutes. He said, you're going to A&E. And I said, why? He said, well, it might be a heart attack and we need to rule that out. How can you get there? Well, I'll drive. I don't recommend you drive. I've no other way of getting there. I'll leave that up to you. I suggest you don't drive. But I did, rightly or wrongly. So I thought if something happened, I could pull over and God could do the rest, but anyway. But whilst I was sat in A&E, these words just kept coming over and over and over. That even though I face the darkest valleys, I'll feel no evil because God was with me. And even though in the spiritual sense there was peace upon my heart, there wasn't peace within or around my heart because it was painful, shall I say, for a better word. But fortunately, as I went for the ECG and the bloods and saw a doctor and then a consultant later on, I think about 1 o'clock in the morning, they ruled the heart attack or angina out, but they're still to see a cardiologist. It's potentially, as Michael, sometimes you say, don't you? I won't bore you with the details, long story short. It's potentially a trapped nerve in within the chest. Often doesn't feel like that, but that's what they're saying. But it's these words that just kept coming back to me. Even though I knew I was speaking on them this week, often you don't look at God's word and think, I really need that right now. Because that is what was happening. That's what was going on. It spoke life into me. Not only spoke into my life, but it spoke life into me by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so these very words, what is it that they bring comfort for you? Maybe you can think back to a time when you've needed God in such a way and these words just naturally come. That's God speaking into your life. The Holy Spirit is guiding you and is speaking you and blessing you in your life at that time and circumstance. I wonder if it's in particular verse 4 where you look at that. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I wonder if it's been that. Or I wonder maybe if you look at the end, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'll be honest with you, not overreacting. I thought I would meet Jesus face to face. But obviously there's more work to be done. And so here we are. But how does it speak into your life, those words? I'm sure you can think of moments. And I'm sure there may be moments to come when whatever you face, these words will just wash over you. Because it's God speaking into your life. And we recall the theme of the shepherd in the Psalms 22, 23 and 24. And of course, many others, don't get me wrong, where we see Jesus as the great shepherd who lives for his sheep and cares for them. And this is why we too live, because it's Christ that lives in us. It's not what we do, but what Christ does within us, as Paul says in Romans. And as we go through, many of you, I'm sure, would have heard this countless of times preached in different ways, with different interpretations. And this is an issue sometimes, because there can be an issue with interpretation with this psalm, especially if we stick with our learned traditions and behaviours, where often it's that psalm of where we see the shepherd boy David laying down in a green paddock somewhere, a green pasture, a meadow, and gazing up on into the sky and seeing what God has done for him and how he speaks to him. Often that may be an interpretation. But what do I mean if we stick with the learned traditions and behaviours? Well, it's unfortunate that sometimes this psalm is spiritualised and often made that way. Because to see, as I say, David as a young boy laying in the meadows or wherever it is, looking up and speaking with Father God, actually when you look at the time he wrote this, it's when he was king. So it wasn't when he was young. A young boy. It was much later on in life. And so that may change a bit the way we view this. It was probably during the time of rebellion of his son Absalom. And you find that in 2 Samuel. There David deals with some very difficult circumstances that he experienced during his long walk with the people. If David did write this in later life, then it takes on that new meaning, especially the issues that he faced and dealt with around the time of his son's rebellion. 2 Samuel chapters 13 to 19, it's not a good read. There's rape, there's incest, there's murder amongst siblings, there's the conspiracy against leaders, curses spoken against those in charge, more deaths and a whole heap of mourning for the people. This is what was going on at the time. And when you take that in its context and you think of that and you hear of that, and then you read what David wrote down in this psalm here, it begins to take on a bit of a different meaning. You can see the pain and the anguish and the torment. Maybe the verse 4 where he walks through the valley of the shadow of death, he feels no evil. His valley of the shadow of death is that he's being chased down to be killed, to seeing everything around him fall apart. And so when we hear it, it may change our views. In trials and tribulations, we may recite this psalm because of some of our experience in today's world. Excuse me. This psalm fits. It fits right in appropriately. And often when we look at the psalms, we've said before that there's a turning point within them. And if we're looking for that here, you find it right in verse 4. You find it right there. There's that turning point, because what you have here is the pronouns that turn from I to you. Do you see that? Do you see that as you look at his word, at God's word? It changes at that point, because he's saying at the beginning, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, turning point, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. There's the turning point. Because then you read on. Verse 5 and verse 6. You prepare the table. You anoint my head. Surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. There's that turning point of what we find. David is not speaking about the shepherd at this point, in that turning point, but in fact is actually speaking to the shepherd. This is where we see Jesus in that dark valley. Not leading, but right beside and guiding through. He's not before us, he's leading the way, calming our fears. Do you see that? Do you see that where it says there, even though I walk through the valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Right here, right now. Just like he is with us. Whether we see that or not. It's what's going on. And there's that turning point. This is the peace that comes upon your heart, even though it may seem that war is raging all around. Yes, we pray that God goes before us, behind us, above us, to the left, to the right, within and without. But it is through here that we see that he is right beside us, coming through it with us. Because he's gone before us and suffered everything. But he's done it for us. Another change of metaphor, if you like, verse 5, where you see it there, from shepherd and his sheep to host and his guest. Where do we often hear that? Where do we often hear host and guest? Thank you, Malcolm. Communion. That we become the guest and he becomes the host because it's he that invites us to his table that is prepared for us. And as we look into that, verse 5, we get this view, this picture of a table. On a deeper level, if you like, the possible context for our passage today doesn't necessarily refer to the table as a piece of furniture that is preparing and laid out for us, the piece of furniture. But in the very simple word, if you like, it means something spread out. And when you think of flat, hilly places, as you can see in this particular picture, there's the hills, there's the mountains, but then you can see this flat place, often recalled as a table. You think of, is it Table Mountain in Africa? If my geography is right, thank you, nods. It's flat. This is what God has prepared, this what is created, this space that is flat and spread out. And it's often when we refer with this, with the sheep and the flock, that they'll go through the valleys to get to where they're going, and all of a sudden they'll come out to a flat place that has been prepared, where they'll rest and they'll take food and they'll take water before they then go on to the fold and take shelter for the night. But it's here in this passage that we read that we may be on these paths of righteousness. And even though we may walk through the valley of the shadows and death, the valleys with the ups and the downs, we fear no evil. Why? Because Jesus is with us. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. And in that, it may be that it's provision of food, water, finance, health, all these things that is there with us. And it's where we find the table, a resting place, if you like, prepared for us, where we can recuperate and rest up before we move on. Or do you still see it as a table, as the modern day version of a piece of furniture, the communion table, if you like, where the good shepherd is the host, and where as his sheep we gather around, and he serves us for a foretaste of what is done, of what is not quite yet, but what is yet to come, when he will drink anew with us in heaven, when he comes again. Jesus, face to face with him, our Lord and our Saviour, in that resting place. There's the two sides of it. Or maybe, if you like, it could be the point where we're anointed with oil, where our cup overflows, as it says, to see from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down, as we often sing in that song, where goodness and love has followed us all the days of our life. Again, God speaking in. I wrote this last week. Didn't know I was going to be singing, "Your goodness follows me." Is that not God? Is this not where we see God speaking into our lives? We've got to realise this. We've got to realise that God speaks to us. Because if we don't, what are we doing? If we don't believe that God speaks to us in the here and the now, individually, collectively and corporately together, what's the point? But this is where we need to see. This is where we need to have ears, eyes, hearts, minds open to receive what God is saying to us. Where we can truly declare that Christ is King, that He reigns supremely, that He walks beside us, no matter what we're going through, no matter when we go through it. Because this is real. This is faith. This is faith as we look it straight on in the eyes and see that Christ reigns and lives forevermore. Because He is risen and alive, is He not? It's not just something we say once a year on an Easter Sunday. But it's true every day of our lives. That Christ is alive, that He is risen, and He reigns forevermore. Because as I keep saying, Christ is King. And He reigns supremely. God is in control. And that's difficult. That's difficult to understand that, isn't it? In what we're facing today in our world. When it is literally falling apart, when it is burning up in ways we've never seen before. But we have to hold on to that hope, because hope has a name, it's Jesus Christ. So these flat places, the tables where they rest and they eat, headed to the fold, find another meaning, Psalm 78, if you want to turn to there. In particular, verse 19. About this table. Verse 19, verse 78, page 489. Simply says, they spoke against God, saying, "Can God spread a table in the wilderness?" Now, for those of you who know your way around God's word, you'll know that that instantly fires back to Numbers 20, where the people are rising against Moses and Aaron again. Where they're saying they were better off in Egypt. Why bring us out here? We've no food, we've no water, we've no nothing. Can't feed ourselves, can't feed our animals. What's going on? We was better off there, slaves. And so Moses and Aaron go and they consult with God, and God speaks to them. And He tells them what to do. He says, God instructs Moses, take the staff. Flashback to Psalm 23. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. He says, take the staff. Gather the people and speak to the rock. Before their eyes, water will pour out. Now, as you also know, this is the time and the place where Moses doesn't exactly do what God says. Gets a bit angry in his humanness. Must we do this? And strikes a rock and water comes out. I always find this bit a bit harsh. Then God turns around and says, because you didn't fully do what I say and believe what I said I'd do, you're not going to the promised land. We'll leave that for another day. We digress. Table areas. Difficult days, work. The shepherd would lead the flock through the hills to the table area and to rest and to eat. The aim of the shepherd, as I say, was to bring the flock safely through, back to the fold, where his sheep could rest for the night. As we know, shepherds would carry a crook, a rod, a staff, if you like. Multiple purposes for it. To guide the sheep, used as a weapon. But also to guide and to take through. And yet here in this passage, we read that even though we may be on paths of righteousness, and even though we may walk through the valleys of the shadow of death, we're not to fear no evil. Again, can be very difficult to say, very difficult to believe in and trust in when bad things are happening, when our enemies come against us, when we feel we can't fight back, when we try to be humble and not necessarily want to do that, but to be graceful and humble and show love and compassion, even when it's not often coming our way. Why do we do this? Well, we do it because Jesus is with us. It's what he calls us to do. Because his rod and his staff will comfort us. It's where we find that resting place, as we say. It's where it may be something for later or a time to come. But whatever we're facing, know that God cares for us. Know that the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, laid down his life for us, picked it up again, will guide us, will comfort us, will take us through whatever it is we're going through with his grace, his mercy, and his love. And I think it's fair to say we may never understand the complexities of life. We may never understand some of the circumstances that we go through, why we have to go through them. Whether it's us personally or whether we're journeying with loved ones or friends that are suffering, because it also affects us. We may never understand often why we lose loved ones. But know that he anoints us for service, and know that he is mighty to save. Know that it is God that will do these things. And maybe here now, in this time, in this space, maybe there's many of us that are walking through trials and tribulations. Maybe there's things that we're going to face, whatever it may be, that may bring a bit of anxiety and fear. Maybe we're going through that right now for different reasons. But what about here having an opportunity right now with one another to pray? What about where we take God at his word? And we see that it is he that makes our cup overflow. It's he that anoints our head with oil. It's he that anoints us for service. It's he that will bring the comfort to whatever we're facing. And I know it may be difficult, but actually what we are to be doing as gospel people is to be praying with and for one another. And so we're going to pause. I'm going to invite the musicians to come back up. They're going to sing a song. Now, you can, if you want, sit there, allow the words to wash over you. You can stand and you can sing it if you want. But what I'd want to invite you to do and encourage you to do is maybe just in this moment, just ask God to lay a name of someone here upon your heart. And when the musicians start in a moment, you can get up and you can go to that person and say, I want to pray with you. Or you can find someone and pray with them and say, how can I pray with you today? What is it you need prayer for? Because I guarantee each and every one of us need prayer, whether we think that or not, we do. It's what we're called to be as gospel people. I can't make it any more plainer or simpler. Whether something's going on in your life or whether it's going on in someone else's, here's an opportunity to pray. Here's an opportunity to join together and anoint one another. And I know for you guys at home watching now, I encourage you, if you're with people, pray together at your homes. If you're on your own, be assured that we're praying for you also. And I'll be certainly doing that in a moment. So as we listen, as we hear this music, as the musicians play, there's even oil here that I've prepared. If you want to be anointed with oil, come forward. For those that are praying with each other and you want it, come forward and get this oil and be anointed in God's oil and pray for one another as we're called to do. This is God working through us. It's God working through each other. Come and receive his goodness and his love. Come and be comforted by the Good Shepherd who lives for his sheep and cares for them. Take a moment, pray, speak to God, go and pray with someone. Come down here if you want, and I'll pray with you. Also ask if you want to be anointed with oil. Let's take this time now and let's do that, to know that it is his rod and that it is his staff that comforts us. as we dwell in his house all the days of our life. We just want to continue praying with each other. But I just say for those of you at home that are watching, we thank you. We're continuing to pray here as our service draws out. And we just thank you for joining with us today. And we just say, come, we're here. Get in touch if you need prayer yourselves. We'll be there for you. Thank you.